Around 7 o'clock this morning, President Donald Trump announced on his Truth Social platform that the ceasefire he'd declared earlier between Israel and Iran had come into effect. The two countries continued to exchange fire up until the last minute, sparking confusion as to whether a temporary truce was actually in place. Now, detail is still light. Israel says it's achieved its goals in this conflict and agrees to the US ceasefire proposal. Earlier, the Iranian said there was no agreement, but then added, provided that the Israeli regime stops its illegal aggression against the Iranian people, we have no intention to continue our response afterwards. Joining us now is Dr. Leslie Vinjamuri, Director of the US and Americas Programme at Chatham House. Dr. Vinjamuri, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good morning.
There are so many questions. There is so little detail. But does it appear that Donald Trump has pulled it off, that he's delivered a ceasefire, that he's delivered peace in what he now calls the 12-day-old war?
Well, I mean, I think you've just said it. There's so much that's unknown. He's announced a ceasefire. We know it's not uncommon for parties to a war to accelerate their attacks in the lead up to a ceasefire. And we did see more missiles before that ceasefire. But again, it's typical of President Trump in the heat of what's been an extraordinarily intense 12 days. Including those U.S. direct attacks on Iran's nuclear sites, but it is President Trump's desire to be able to announce that he has been the individual to sort of bring peace. But we all know that the situation is highly unstable, that we have great uncertainty about the effectiveness of those U.S. strikes on the very clear goal of trying to reduce Iran's capabilities to produce a nuclear weapon. The IAEA has said they don't have any ability to really assess the situation. There's all sorts of sort of claims being made, but in fact nobody knows. And Israel, I think, is in some senses the real party that we'll have to watch to see, will they be satisfied? Will they be satisfied by the U.S. strikes, by their own sense of having weakened Iran, will President Trump be able to deliver on their compliance with the ceasefire? Very, very uncertain right now.
If he has pulled it off, let's look at the jigsaw that has had to be pulled together here, from Qatar to Iran to Russia, perhaps, and to Israel as well. If he has pulled it off, how has he managed it?
I mean, again, I would be deeply suspicious of making any bold claim that he's pulled off anything that amounts to a short and certainly to a medium or long-term peace for the region. It's not been clear what the end game is. If it is really simply to reduce or to end Iran's ability to have the highly enriched uranium that it needs to produce a bomb. If that hasn't been achieved, if we find out that it hasn't been achieved, then it's very unlikely to be a stable situation. But for Israel, it's not clear if that limited goal is their goal, or whether it's a regime change. So declaring a ceasefire on the back of what's been not only an incredibly intense 12-day war, as President Trump is calling it, but months and months, and you know, well over a year of instability in the region, with many of the conflicts deeply connected from Israel's point of view. How is it going to ensure its security? A very, very weakened Iran, a U.S. that has ambivalence about its interest and willingness in getting directly involved, having not thought it would, and then seeing those direct attacks, but a president who really doesn't want to get pulled further in. There are so many angles through which this could continue to escalate. What we are seemingly seeing right now is that the U.S. doesn't want to escalate further. Iran doesn't appear to want to escalate further. And Israel might be satisfied for now, but again, I think it's just far too early to assess it in a deeply unstable situation.
A ceasefire, if that's what this is a first and significant step to what? To ongoing negotiation. And if there is to be a resumption of negotiations with Iran, what's in this for Iran?
I think for Iran, again, Iran, a very, very weakened state right now, that presumably also has, perhaps even more so now than before, an ambition to continue to make progress towards a nuclear weapon, and that will clearly be on the minds of the Israelis and of President Trump. Is a ceasefire simply, you know, a moment to begin to rebuild and restart that weapons program? But the negotiation part is really the key, and this is what I think people have been saying for a very long time. You can't solve this problem with bombs. You can't solve it from the air. You can't solve it militarily, that there has to be some sort of negotiation. We had that before in the JCPOA, the Iran deal, which we know President Trump pulled out of. The Europeans were, you know, in Geneva trying to restart negotiations just last weekend. And so now, I mean, one of the questions for Europe is that are they willing to really try and lead? Will President Trump let them? To what extent is he communicating clearly and carefully with European partners and allies? But that negotiation is absolutely critical. And they're, you know, having some sort of verification, inspections, what we had before, so that there's oversight of Iran's nuclear program is absolutely essential.
And we know that Donald Trump, after a few hours sleep, is going to be heading to The Hague for this NATO summit. He's now, we're told, going to meet President Zelensky in the margins of that meeting. Could we see further action on ending the Russia-Ukraine war?
You know, again, another, if you think of the number of wars that President Trump wants to solve, that wants to resolve, all happening simultaneously, that NATO summit is absolutely crucial. Donald Trump, of course, wants to deliver a deal. There's absolutely no sign that a deal is forthcoming right now, because I don't think Russia has any interest in this at the moment. And Ukraine, of course, wants its sovereignty. But the NATO summit is crucial. I think the key thing here really on the table will be, what can Europeans promise to President Trump? There's that ambition for 5%, 3.5% defense spending goal, 1.5% sort of around it. But I think the ambition is, you know, rightly, I think, very limited. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pragmatism and a recognition that really the goals need to be modest, just simply to keep the U.S. in, to avoid any significant disruption.
I wonder, Dr. Vinjamuri, how will he treat the NATO members? Because, you know, he went to the G7, he waggy-fingered them about having excluded Vladimir Putin, then he basically turned around and left. Could we see something similar here?
I mean, he did also leave, of course, for a very specific reason, which was the war in the Middle East.
True, true.
And we could see, I mean, this is a president who is, when it comes to those personal interactions at high stakes, diplomatic moments, phenomenally unpredictable, likes drama, likes the, you know, likes to make a scene, likes to kind of point the finger. Of course, we could see anything. And everybody, you know, America's NATO partners, America's NATO allies are very well aware of this. They're very well prepped. I'm sure they've thought through how to respond should that happen. But it's a crucial moment, and the war in the Middle East will certainly be on the agenda as well. Of course, President Zelensky was at Chatham House yesterday, very important meeting, and he's, you know, very thoughtful about what comes in the days ahead.
Dr. Leslie Vinjamuri, thank you very much indeed. It's 20 minutes past 8.